From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of these studies in the Book of Judges, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, A Fatal Flaw in a Faithful Man, as he takes a final look at the ministry of Gideon. In the passage in chapter 8, we see Gideon's army faint, yet pursuing the enemy. Here is Gideon's faithfulness. He was not distracted by controversy or deterred by physical faintness. Here's encouragement for God's people in every age. We're to remember that we're fighting against the devil, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, that is, prayer and study of the Bible. Yet, in spite of Gideon's faithfulness, he marred his reputation by taking many wives in the manner of the heathen kings of the time. Then he made a golden ephod that became a snare to Israel, for they fell to worshiping it. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Sanctified Souls Are Satisfied. The text is found in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 14. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Note the my, which comes twice. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness. The kind of people who are satisfied with God are marked out as God's own. He is pleased with them, for they are pleased in Him. They call Him their God, and He calls them His people. He is satisfied to take them for a portion, and they are satisfied with Him for their portion. There is a mutual communion of delight between God's Israel and Israel's God. These people are satisfied. This is a grand thing. Very few of the sons of men are ever satisfied, let their lot be what it may. They have swallowed the horse-leech, and it continually cries, Give! Give! Only sanctified souls are satisfied souls. God Himself must both convert us and content us. It is no wonder that the Lord's people should be satisfied with the goodness of their Lord. Here is goodness without mixture, bounty without stint, mercy without chiding, love without change, favor without reserve. If God's goodness does not satisfy us, what will? What? Are we still groaning? Surely there is a wrong desire within, if it be one which God's goodness does not satisfy. Lord, I am satisfied. Blessed be Thy name.
And long for
time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to be born a man? Why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And what's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such questions. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. But we're also pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 20th century Christian. You may have a copy of the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
These people were faint. Why? Because they hadn't eaten. Take that spiritually. An awful lot of God's people are weak today because they're not feeding on the Word of God. Very simple. If you're not taking time to feed on God's Word, you're going to be weak. You're going to be incapable of taking a stand, fighting a battle, praying through, witnessing for Christ. You can't do it unless you're feeding on the Word of God. There's something, of course, here that will encourage us. You may get discouraged that you're so faint and incapable. Even the greatest men in the world get faint. Gideon certainly did. But you see, the work of God doesn't depend on your power. It doesn't depend on my power. Our job is to keep pursuing. Keep pursuing. Be faithful. When you don't feel like praying, pray. When you do feel like praying, pray. So whether you feel like it or don't, pray. When it pays to obey the word of God in an immediate earthly sense, obey the word of God. When it costs to obey the word of God, obey the word of God. When God has filled your heart with great joy, be faithful. When God has allowed your soul to be overwhelmed with great trouble, great temptation, great weakness, still be faithful. You may be faint, but get your eyes on Christ and keep pursuing. Realize you're battling the devil and never sheath your sword. Always remain in the battle. May the devil always know that you're his enemy, even if you're faint. I love the purpose of this. I don't necessarily love the experience that leads to the fulfillment of the purpose. But the purpose of God in allowing these people to be faint yet pursuing was very simple. He was removing all reliance on the flesh. Remember, we have covered this in past Sabbath evenings. The Lord has got to bring Christians to the place where they're not relying on themselves, their abilities, their power, their strength, their resources, their money, their organization, their anything else. They're relying 100% on God. Now, it doesn't say that they don't give money to the work. They do. It doesn't mean that they don't have organization. They do. They do the things that they have to do, but their reliance is not on means. Their reliance is on the Lord. Our God is able. There's another way that I love to think of those words of verse 4, faint yet pursuing. Take the context. Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, faint yet pursuing. In many ways that reminds me of the closing passage of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Where Christian was overwhelmed with the thought of death. Many a Christian at the end of the journey is physically worn out, mentally worn out. The devil hurls his fiery darts, and that believer very often is just fainting. But when he comes to the Jordan, he's still pursuing. And the Lord brings him over to the glory shore. Though you may be faint, be faithful. Now we come to the dark side of Gideon's closing days. Though he was faithful, and he was, Gideon was foolish. Let me just list how he was foolish. First of all, he refused to be a king. That was good. But though he had refused the office, Gideon obviously lived in the manner of the kings of those days. It's very clear, especially in his own home, he shaped his family life like the family life of the heathen kings about him. He had multiple wives. Now, I realize that many Israelites had multiple wives. I've heard it said, people have often said, two wives would be bad enough, but two mothers-in-law would be intolerable. So we believe in monogamy. I think that's as good a reason as many people can come up with. The New Testament actually gives you better reasons. But there were many occasions of people with multiplied wives. But this man went overboard. He didn't reach Solomon's level quite. But he had a lot of wives and he had 70 sons. You just think of that. 70 sons. What he was doing was he was following what was common practice among the kings of that period. It's always disastrous, it's folly for a child of God to begin to fashion his home and fashion his family after the standard of the world. You start to fashion your home life to bring it into line with the world, and you'll destroy your home, and you'll damn your children, you'll wreck the very things that are closest to your heart. We need to be very clear about this, for Christians are doing it. Again, I don't want to stray, but I am very, very tempted to take this, and as I said last Sunday night, and put it in a theological context. The old Protestant theology put everything within the system of biblical truth. Everything in its God-appointed place. So that God in Christ was their life. That was the atmosphere in which they thought and moved and worked and labored. Nowadays what we have is an evangelical theology that is more Romanist than Protestant, more unbiblical than biblical, and oh yes, there is the emphasis on personal salvation, but God is an addendum to life. God is just something you bring alongside of your everyday living. You fashion your life like the world. You fashion your home like the world. You fashion your business like the world. You live, you talk, you walk. You eat, you breathe like the world. You think like the world. And when you get into trouble, you call God alongside to help. And it doesn't work. And it's never going to work. God is not the world's repairman. We need to think this through. I'm only touching on what is a vast ocean of theological thought, but it comes right out here. So many Christians, and God is there for the time of trouble, but he's not there as the one who conditions our thinking. The old believers would simply say, we don't know anything apart from Christ. I can't talk about a tree, a leaf, a flower, a bird. I can't talk about anything as the ungodly world talks about it. I can only talk about those things and consider those things as the direct creation and expression of the power and the Godhood of our God. He is all in all. We live for him. We love him. I only think straight when I think the thoughts of God. I only talk straight when my talk is a reflection of what God has said. I only live right when I live in such a way as to express the living of my God in Christ. That's old-time Protestant theology. That is biblical Christianity. And nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. But oh, so many evangelical, fundamental, Bible-believing people are up to their eyeballs in the world. They think like the world. Their philosophy is the philosophy of the world. They tie the hands of God, or at least in their theology they do. They want to make God to be at the beck and call of man. And then they wonder why their children go astray. They wonder why their families are wrecked. They wonder why their souls are in darkness. My friend, I tell you, if you make Gideon's mistake, you'll pay for it. You fashion your home like the world and you'll pay for it. But then far more hurtful to his family and far more hurtful to his people even than that was the fact that he made a golden ephod. And the ephod was sort of a sleeveless tunic of great splendor that the high priest wore as part of his garments. It's obvious, therefore, Gideon had a religious purpose in view in making this golden ephod. People have thought maybe this was a commemoration of his victory. It's a strange sort of commemoration. It was certainly not military. It was religious. Now, it's very clear to me that Gideon wanted to serve the Lord, not Baal, when he made this ephod. Some people have speculated, with some justification, that the high priest at Shiloh wasn't doing his job right, that the worship of the Lord at Shiloh was at a low ebb, and Gideon was seeking to make up for it, so he felt justified in this innovation. Some have pointed out, well, Gideon was told to build an altar, so maybe he felt there was no great sin in making an ephod. But whatever you may say, the Bible is clear. It became a snare to Gideon, to his family, and to his nation. First of all, he broke the second commandment. If there's a message that needs to start being preached to God's people today, it is you do not break the law of God with impunity. Some of the notions of dispensationalism have got into every church practically, that somehow or other the Old Testament moral law, it's just not for today. It's not for today. I believe it was in reference to this that the famous J.N. Darby said that if you take the moral law as being the standard of Christian living, a standard for Christian obedience, he said, dispensationally, that is the sin against the Holy Ghost. J.N. Darby was a great scholar, a great man in many ways, but an utter idiot in that statement. And I have no apology to make for that description. An utter idiot in that statement. Dispensationally, the sin against the Holy Ghost. Most people today have never read a word of J.N. Darby, and most people who have tried are no wiser, because it's nearly impossible to understand what the man says. But our churches are reaping the harvest. And his theories have become the benchmark of orthodoxy in our Bible-believing churches. And that now is the great mark of Christian perfection, of Christian maturity, that I don't need to keep the law of God. Since when? Since when? Thou shalt not commit adultery. I tell you, our churches would need to have that preached today. The churches are just about as rotten as the world in this. The immorality that's sweeping through churches, aye, and through the pastorate of the churches, and I'm not now talking merely about the charismatics and about the Roman Catholics and about the Lutherans, I'm talking about the Bible-believing churches, where hundreds of pastors every year are either having to quit their jobs or quietly move to another job because of immoral living. That's what I'm talking about. They would need to have this preached. And I make it clear to you, when you start telling people that the law of God is not a standard of holiness to be striven after in the Christian life, you begin to pull down the bulwarks of purity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.